Now, popping in via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and audio for radio listeners is Dr. Russell Blaylock. He is a retired board-certified neurosurgeon author. He's a former clinical assistant professor of neurology at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. He is the author of numerous books and numerous scientific articles, including Excitotoxins in 94, that's now gone to the mainline literature, on NutraSweet and a lot more, 2002 on natural strategies for cancer patients, 2003, and writes a monthly newsletter, the Blaylock Wellness Report. Blaylock has done an amazing job over the years exposing the H1N1 shot, all of it. And he joins us here today to get into California saying we're going to shoot your kids up with Gardasil without even telling the parents. That's now law, but you can't really legalize tyranny. You can't have a law saying black people are slaves. I don't care if you have a law. The law is bull. But also, we had an article on Infowars.com that he wants to correct. It's fluoride linked to number one cause of death in new research. And in his analysis, he says, yes, in his email to us, yes, it is connected to the plaques, but not in the way you're saying. So he's going to flesh that out, and we'll have an update added to one of our great authors' research on that front as well. But I've had a lot of scientists on who talk about it, you know, related to the calcification, also in the joints, not just the arteries. But I'm not a medical doctor or a brain surgeon, so we'll get that from Dr. Blaylock here in a moment. Dr. Blaylock, we've seen record numbers not taking the shots. It came out that the H1N1 did cause Guillain-Barré, something you predicted. It did come out that they knew this. It did come out that in the Canadian government studies, as you know, in university studies, that it reduced your normal autoimmune response to regular flu by half. I mean, there's really an awakening happening right now. So they're coming down with both feet on us. They've got CDC programs, as you know, calling people's homes, sending letters, local funded health departments by the feds are going door to door now saying, we're here to give your child a shot. Just total color of law hoaxing. Is this desperation or what's behind it? And what's the basics on these vaccines, sir?
Well, it is desperation. And the problem they have now is a lot of good, hard science is coming out showing that these vaccines are not safe. Particularly due to the adjuvant aluminum compound. There's a group out of Vancouver. I'm friends with these researchers, and they've written several articles that are very powerful showing that this is not safe. There's also immunologists that work with autoimmune diseases that are showing that a number of autoimmune diseases are being related to these vaccines. Narcolepsy was occurring in these small children. In Australia, they blocked the vaccine because of the onset of this narcolepsy in these small children in Norway. This is devastating neurological damage, and we have a very good mechanism to explain this. I've written several articles in peer-reviewed journals in which I explain how this mechanism works and why the vaccines is doing this. Well, they can no longer completely ignore this because it's in the prestigious journals now, and that terrifies them. So I've never seen such promotion of vaccines as occurred after this H1N1. You would have thought after all the material that I gave you showing that even the CDC knew it and the World Health Organization knew it, that they were caught in their lies and the damage that was done to millions of people worldwide. You think they would have backed off this push for vaccines, but no, they doubled their effort, which is terrifying because it's destroying the lives of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of children and adults worldwide. So it's a severe act of desperation. They're going to churches. Mm-hmm. They're going to pharmacies. Everywhere I go in a pharmacy, there's just signs everywhere. Now, this year, we had, I looked on the CDC site, zero deaths, no deaths from flu. Yet they were pushing it as if the streets were littered with dead bodies from the flu.
And yet, sir, I see articles even in mainstream news every day about this company fined for 15 babies dying in illegal vaccine test. This nurse died 1 hour after flu shot. I mean, I talk to people. I have a guy who works here whose wife's an RN. She knows a nurse in a wheelchair, a young nurse from it, 3 years later from the shot they made her take, or they threatened to fire her. I mean, this is a scourge. But then I'm seeing some doctors and nurses now going public, at, you know, thanks to you and others' work, and as you said, peer-reviewed journals coming out and confirming your pioneering research and others. But on the other side, I'm seeing other doctors, including doctors I know personally through family connections and things, who are becoming almost like jihadis, or I guess the term could be they're on some type of crusade, wild-eyed, saying arrest people that don't take it. There's never been a problem from vaccines. They're totally perfect. So those that have been out there pushing it forever at the low level, they're not going to admit they were wrong. So it's almost like people who've been involved in abortion will never admit it's wrong, most of them, because they don't want to admit what they've done. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, the people that are coming out with these shrill replies about the safety, when you pin them down, I mean, when they are going to debate me, none of them will debate me or any of the other people who've questioned the safety, you find out they know absolutely nothing about neurological injury. They know absolutely nothing about the immune response in the brain from vaccination. For instance, Dr. Paul Offit, who is their leading cheerleader, he admitted on videotape that he didn't know anything about neurology, and he couldn't imagine what mechanism would connect vaccines to seizures and other neurological injuries. I've written extensively about it. I've had at least 10 articles written demonstrating how systemic immune overstimulation produces brain damage and malformed brains in children.
But, sir, I'm not a brain surgeon neurologist like you are. I just know that I've talked to literally thousands of parents over the years, and I've seen the medical reports that you take the 18-month-old in for the third round of shots. A lot of times they have a convulsion right there in the clinic, or right there in the car, or that night, and Billy never talks again. He wakes up like a six-month-old baby when the day before he was running around reading his ABCs and catching the football. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but if I watch a truck run over somebody and they've got broken legs, I don't think, well, they just broke their legs magically. The truck ran them over.
Well, if this was anything other than vaccines, you would see an immediate banning of this overnight. I remember back when little premature children, babies were being born, and a lot of them were ending up blind, and they didn't know why. Then some intrepid investigator discovered, well, when you use 100% oxygen in these little cribs and these preemies, it destroys the eyes. Well, they didn't deny it and wait and see if they could prove it absolutely. They changed the oxygen percentage and blindness disappeared.
The blindness disappeared again. What was the drug in the 50s that caused the hundreds of thousands of the babies that had the short arms and legs from the, it was a tranquilizer women were taking while pregnant. They told them it was okay.
Yeah, it was thalidomide. And thalidomide was a very safe tranquilizer for adults, but it produces gross, terrible malformations in these small babies. Well, they didn't wait 1 second to ban thalidomide. And then they didn't launch this attack on anyone who made a connection between thalidomide and these malformations. They immediately banned thalidomide and the malformation stopped. Well, the government, for instance, they know a lot of this. And that's why they refuse, absolutely. And I have a friend who's an epidemiologist who applied for a $1 million grant to compare unvaccinated children in the Amish community with vaccinated children, their whole health parameters. Very good design study. They refused to fund it. They've never given any funding for any study that will compare vaccinated and unvaccinated children in terms of their total health, because they know what it's going to show. It's going to show that the unvaccinated children are infinitely healthier. And there is good scientific evidence in a mechanism by which this over-vaccination that we're doing now in the world, the United States is worse than any country in the world, can destroy the immune system, making these children more susceptible to infections. They're going to have a higher death rate from minor infections. And they know that, and that fuels the panic for more vaccines. We have college students are told you have to get all the childhood vaccines again. Now, you're thinking, all of us went through college, a university, and we didn't have any problem with meningitis and all these other things they're talking about today. I don't remember a single student ever dying. But now suddenly, it's such an emergency, we have to make sure every college student is vaccinated. Well, I have treated college students who were just destroyed. One was a very brilliant young lady, daughter of a friend of mine, who took these vaccines, and she was just devastated neurologically and physically. We did some things and brought her through it. But it there's no question it was due to the vaccine. Her father's a physician.
Dr. Blaylock joining us right now. Why, from studying this for decades, what is the strategy of the big pharma? Because obviously as they damage more and more people, the tide is turning against them. Is it short-term profit? I know we've talked about eugenics, population reduction. Are they just trying to set the precedent where they can get away with whatever they want, whenever they want? I mean, what is the method of this madness?
Well, if you look at it, a very close parallel to what we're seeing now was the eugenics movement in the 20s and 30s up to the 50s. They told us the same thing. This is for public health. Unless we get rid of these bad gene pools, we're going to ruin society and all of us are going to pay. It is an emergency public health issue that we round up these people, forcibly sterilize them against their will, even put them in concentration gulags, which if you read the book by Black about the history of eugenics in the United States, where they forcibly sterilized thousands of young women against their will. And they use the same argument. Well, now we look back on it and we say, oh, this was an atrocity in American history that we allowed public health officials to put these people in gulags. And in fact, there was a very well-known ophthalmologist who said anyone who wears glasses should be sterilized because we don't want to promote blindness in the United States. Now, this is a matter of record. He even submitted a bill to the New York State Legislature to have it where people with glasses would be forcibly sterilized. Now, this is where this insanity can lead. Well, with that parallel in mind, here we come with a vaccine policy that is just as dangerous or more dangerous, that's destroying brains, destroying immune systems, and we're saying, oh, it's a public health emergency that these people be vaccinated. Now, these cheerleaders that you're talking about, these physicians who just get livid over this and wild-eyed, they're the people who are listening to this propaganda. They are listening to propaganda that says, oh, we're going to return to the days of mass death from measles if we don't mass vaccinate people and forcibly. Well, if you look back before we had a measles vaccine, which I grew up under those days, I didn't have anybody in any of my classes die from measles. All of us got the measles. I don't remember anybody in town who had children that died from the measles.
By the way, I've got three children. None of them ever vaccinated, and they've all had the measles, and it was no big deal.
Well, it's not saying that there weren't children who died from the measles. They were immune suppressed or sick from other diseases like leukemia, and they will die. But this whole idea that we've got to massively vaccinate, are we going to return to those days? Well, the days they're talking about are in the 1800s and 1700s. They're not talking about in modern times when there was sanitation and better food. That's what caused the drastic fall in these diseases and the low mortality rate. If you look at the mortality of diseases for which there's no vaccine in the United States, it had the lowest death rate and complication rate anywhere in the world.
Well, doctor, what about this? I mean, I see articles all the time. I saw one in CBS News just a few weeks ago. Again, every year where they're giving these polio vaccines all over the world and it's causing... it's like it's weaponized, super deadly polio. And now I've got a report right here. The main cause globally now of polio is the vaccine.
Yeah, they even named it vaccine-mediated polio because the World Health Organization admitted it was being caused by the vaccine. Now, the interesting thing was, in the United States, we recognized that the live polio vaccine was the only cause of polio in the United States after the 1960s. Every case was caused by the vaccine. So they outlawed it. You could only use the killed vaccine in the United States. So the drug companies took the live virus polio vaccine and bought it to the third world and started mass vaccinating them, knowing it was going to cause epidemics of polio. Well, then there's an article in the World Health Journal which says, well, yes, we did create an epidemic of this special vaccine called polio, but now that we've triggered it, we have to double our efforts at vaccination. This shows the insanity of these people.
But as you said, they are coming down with both feet with their propaganda right now out of desperation. I see it backfiring, Dr. Blaylock. We're about to go to break, but briefly, what are you seeing out there in the public?
Well, the public is a lot wiser than the medical profession overall itself, particularly the pediatrician. They understand what's happening. Because like you say, they read these stories, they talk to their friends and say, my child was perfectly normal and doing really well, was vaccinated. 2 days later, they end up with seizures that are uncontrollable or neurological deterioration. So, you know, any rational mind, when you're looking at cases all over the world, everybody's having the same experience. It's that close association. Only an idiot would deny it.
Only an idiot or somebody in denial because they've been shooting kids up and don't want to admit it. We'll be back with Dr. Blaylock. We'll give you his website, too. There is nothing more frustrating, nothing that makes me more angry than knowing that the bisphenol A, the fluoride, the shots is hurting people. I mean, the U.S. number one in obesity, number one in cancer, just number one right down the line. And we're the main beneficiaries of this medical mafia. Going back to Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD, retired brain surgeon, neurologist. We've only got this short segment, one more little segment with you, Dr. Blaylock, and there's so much, obviously, to talk about, but anything else you think you should add on vaccines before we get some into fluoride?
Well, the really frightening thing about the vaccines is that these people know that they're endangered, so they're trying to push mandated vaccines in the states. That means you have no choice whatsoever. Well, a lot of the states that have mandated vaccines like HPV, the Gardasil, there's a lot of options opting out that's allowed. Well, there's some articles recently in JAMA, the Journal of the AMA, which said we ought to get rid of the ability for these parents to opt out and these children should be forcibly vaccinated. Well, they know that if they have to debate this, they're going to lose. So they want to go to legislatures and judges, have this mandated so you have no choice. They'll take your child away and forcibly vaccinate them. And then when the child is destroyed neurologically, they'll give them back to you and say, now, take care of the child. We don't think it had anything to do with the vaccine. Well, this is happening thousands of times, tens of thousands of times.
And listen, I was talking to this nurse and others. A lot of times when they make you get it and then now you're in a wheelchair, they don't even want to see you. It's like you don't even exist. They take no responsibility.
Exactly. And the doctors say there's no way that could be connected to the vaccine when there's a very good mechanism. You can do this in experimental animals. You vaccinate them with the same thing that's used as a immune adjuvant in the vaccine. You'll produce neurological injury. You'll produce paralysis.
Briefly, from your research and others, what on average is happening in the brain? Because you always hear it's when they give them the double, the triple. One reporter I was talking to, they said, oh, your child's behind. We'll give them six shots, nine different viruses. And it was that night convulsions and for 4 years, you know, screwed up guts, everything.
Well, it is absolutely proven. If you massively stimulate the immune system systemically, that is by a vaccine, it will massively activate the brain's special immune system, which is governed by microglia cells. And these pour out excitotoxins into the brain, as well as inflammatory cytokines for months, even years. And that's what's producing the damage and the death in these children. Well, this has been done experimentally in animals and thousands of laboratories all over the country. This is a very hot topic. Yet we ignore this research that shows that if you do this, you're going to get this damage and that the brain is highly vulnerable at this age. We just totally ignore it. And I parallel it to, well, what if you say it's important that people take their hypertensive medications, so we should make it where we don't tell them that there's complications to these medications, because that might scare them away from taking the medicine. So we can start lying about side effects of drugs and everything else that has to do with surgery or anything else. We just won't tell people that things can happen. And that's exactly what they're doing with vaccine. They all admit these complications occur, but they say, well, if the public finds out, they'll be afraid to get the vaccine, and then we won't be able to.
Yeah, so they claim it's this trade-off, but then we know it's reducing immunity. We know it's not even protecting people in most cases, so it's a fraud when you break it down. We're about to go to break with just five more minutes with you, but looking at autoimmune responses, this wasn't it the swine flu that killed tens of millions? It was an over-autoimmune response in the lungs that actually killed people. I mean, it's well known that a regular virus a lot of times kills you from the autoimmune response, correct, Doctor?
Well, your body's overreaction to the vaccine, absolutely, and to the virus. But you see, this goes to an informed consent issue. Patients and families are being denied informed
exactly.
consent.
Stay there. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, if you just tuned in, Dr. Blaylock, I was breaking down the fact that it's on the inserts of these vaccines. The doctors and people that tell you, oh, there's no mercury in there, or this doesn't cause neurological disorders, they know full well it's on the stinking insert. Instead, what the big companies do, or when you go to the pharmacy, is they have fact sheets that aren't the actual sheet. It's a bunch of propaganda. And they go, oh, everything's fine, honey. And it's because these cold-blooded companies want to make money and more. They want to set the precedent to basically carry out eugenics. In the 4 minutes we've got left with Dr. Blaylock, and we're coming back with your calls and a bunch of big news here on this Wednesday edition. You'd sent us a note, and we always appreciate being updated. We posted an article at Infowars.com titled Fluoride Linked to Number One Cause of Death in New Research, that being heart attacks right ahead of cancer. We know it's linked to cancer, too. That's been admitted. And then you explained a subtlety in the article, the specific connection of fluoride to plaques in the arteries and where the author may have misunderstood the scientific research. Dr. Blaylock, break that down for us.
Yeah, the article was misinterpreted. This is an area of research in which you're trying to find ways to scan people to see how much calcification they have in their coronary arteries, because we know that's strongly correlated to death from heart attack. So they found that you can radio label fluoride, now where you put a radioactive tag on the fluoride, inject it in the person, and it'll accumulate in these calcified plaques, and so you can see them. So it's not that the fluoride by this study was causing the plaque or causing the calcification. It's just a way to diagnostically look at it. Now, taking it further, looking at the research that really connects the two, what we see is that fluoride avidly attaches to calcium and cells that make calcium. So when you look at fluorosis, for instance, the spine will become so calcified, so many bone spurs on it, it'll crush the spinal cord, and a person can become paraplegic. Ligaments in the neck will become calcified and produce quadriplegia. And according to the literature, only fluoride overdosing can produce this condition.
And they've known this for a long, long time. This is one of the oldest studies, the things I've seen out there. So it basically creates just a sludge in the body. And I guess to simplify it, collects the calcium and things and allows it to bond together.
Right. The fluoride will bond to the calcium plaque. Well, fluoride is a highly reactive metal. And the studies have shown when it binds to that calcium plaque, it produces high levels of free radical damage to the vessel wall. Well, that's what produces atherosclerosis. So basically what they're showing is that if you're ingesting fluoride, it accumulates in the calcium, and that makes the calcium infinitely more harmful and makes the atherosclerosis progress much more rapidly and extensively. This has been shown in the brain. Any calcification in the brain, for instance, pineal gland, accumulates fluoride. They've examined pineal glands in humans and found that the levels of fluoride were 10,000 parts per million, an enormous level of fluoride. there's also a connection to excitotoxicity. We know that excitotoxicity is occurring in the walls of these blood vessels, these heart arteries, and that produces calcification. Then the fluoride combines with the calcium and worsens the excitotoxicity. I serve on the editorial board of the journal Fluoride, which is the only journal that deals with fluoride research in the world. It's the fluoride, the International Fluoride Research Society.
I tell you what, Dr. Blaylock, we were intending to have you go right now, but you've got to come back. I want you to finish this thought for just 2 minutes on the other side, and then we'll also, for the full audience, give people the websites, BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, invaluable information, BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, and RussellBlaylockMD.com. But I want you to be able to finish this thought, because this really is a true public service announcement. The system has known forever that fluoride calcifies in the bones, the joints, the arteries, everywhere.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I know everybody's covering the attempts by Congress, and it's really part of an international treaty. They want to get our laws lined up with it. I know everybody's covering the SOPA Act and everything, and it's because everybody is covering it that I've only spent probably 45 minutes of the show on it today. It's very important, but our audience knows about the attempts at censorship. You understand what's going on. I'm going to give you my perspective on the big picture of where this censorship is going and what the establishment's going to try to do in the future and ways to combat that. I first want to go to Greg, Ed, Michael, Nate, and Scott, and others that are patiently holding. But I've held Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD, retired brain surgeon, neurologist, and of course, author and researcher, over because he brought up some information dealing with the direct connection with heart disease, all sorts of degenerative diseases of the spine and bones and hips and cartilage with fluoride that's added to the water, the pineal gland. But then while he was talking, they ran in here with a new article that just went up on Infowars.com. And I read this during the break, and he's going to comment on this before he leaves as well, because it's exactly what he was saying 30 minutes ago, when he first joined us. AMA, American Medical Journal, that's the big one. Make participation in vaccine trials mandatory. And it's got the link. I didn't just believe Paul Watson's headline. I went and, he's one of our great writers, but I went and clicked on it. It's titled, Should Participation in Vaccine Clinical Trials Be Mandated? We're talking about the AIDS vaccine, all of it. And they say in here, the public does not trust them anymore, and so let's just make them take it. Well, yeah, because we've gone from 1 in 25,000 with autism to 1 in 68, because neurological disorders are off the charts, and you've got direct graphs of whoever takes the most vaccines in a country has the highest rates of all these problems. And we're talking about pancreas cancer. We're talking about heart disease, brain problems, neurological disorders. I mean, this is a plague. I know I'm ranting, Dr. Blaylock, but every time I get you on, it just there's so many points. This is a Armageddon. This is a Holocaust going on. And as you said during the break we were talking, they are scared to death. This validates. Let's cover this first and then briefly get into the fluoride and heart disease situation. But, I mean, this is a big deal. This is exactly what you were just saying.
Yes, it's terrifying, and the public should be terrified, because this is sort of a national socialist idea that Hitler ran his regime under, is that people are cattle. We're the elite. We're the intelligent. And you just have to do what we tell you and trust us. And if you don't trust us, we'll make you do it. Well, that was the eugenicist idea. That's how they ran the eugenics program. And now, historically, we look back and we say, well, thousands of people were ruined. And we were wrong. Well, that's why you don't give elitists that much power. And these people are saying, well, parents are stupid. Doctors that disagree are stupid. The researchers that disagree are stupid. And we just have to make them do it against their will. We'll take their children away and we'll give them non-vaccines. And, 10 years from now, when all of this is proven, they'll say, well, we just didn't know at the time. Well, that doesn't do 10 million, 20 million people any good, because their children were destroyed. Their lives were destroyed. It costs this nation hundreds of billions of dollars in health care that they come back and say, well, we made a mistake. That's why you don't allow them to force people to do things. When I was treating patients, I didn't force them to have surgery that I thought they should have. That was their decision. I didn't force them to take medications they didn't want to take. I just told them what I knew to be the possible facts, and they figured it out. That's why we are individuals in this country, and we have freedom. We don't have elites that dictate to us that we're going to follow their plan. And
that leads us into another area, as you said here 2 years ago, and they said it could never happen. It's law. We now see physicians quitting in droves, going bankrupt. They're being told what treatments they can give people. We're seeing them now saying, well, if somebody's got a low IQ and they're 10 years old, they don't get that kidney transplant, even though we've got it. We see Bill Gates saying, yeah, don't give an old lady treatment, hire 10 teachers. They're now admitting death panels. They're now admitting government control of medicine.
Well, when I analyzed the Obama healthcare bill when it first came out, I told people every bit of this. And all the naysayers, oh, that's not what they mean. Well, now it's obvious it is what they mean. It's obvious it's in these bills. It's obvious physicians are not going to have any choice about treatment. They're going to be told what to do. If they don't do it, they're going to take their license away. And I'll tell you what's coming. It's a federal medical license. So they're going to take it away from states. You will get a federal medical license. If you don't do what they say, you cannot practice anywhere in the United States.
Wow, it is just tyranny at Mach 10 at every level. In closing, BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, RussellBlaylockMD.com, two different sites, incredible information, invaluable. You want the real research from a real expert. These are the sites on so many issues. In closing, fluoride and its connection to heart disease and other ailments.
Well, one thing they know, fluoride is highly reactive with aluminum. It forms an aluminum fluoride complex that is powerfully brain damaging and powerfully aggravates atherosclerosis. And it does so at 0.5 parts per million. That's half of what's in the water. They also put aluminum in all drinking water. So you have aluminum fluoride in your water, and we have all the people in 75% of the country drinking aluminum fluoride every day. And our research says it is a powerful brain toxin and is strongly linked to atherosclerosis. So you can look at this research yourself. It's extensive.
And we wonder why we lead the world now in neurological disorders and heart disease. And you said before the break, for those that just joined us, it binds with the calcium and just clogs the arteries up.
Yeah, it's highly reactive. It's producing a combination that produces intense free radical generation, lipid peroxidation, which is what causes the artery to close off and kills you in a heart attack or stroke. So we know that.
And their answer is, I'm sure you've seen this in the news, put statins in the water, make five-year-olds take statin pills, and now they're talking about lithium in the water so the troops don't commit suicide. I mean, it's like we woke up in the Twilight Zone, Doctor.
Well, once you legitimize putting fluoride in the water to prevent cavities, that opened it up to every drug. So now we can put tranquilizers, we can put mind-altering drugs, we can put everything into the water supply. I can't prescribe a statin drug without explaining all the complications. Well, if you put it in a water supply, how are you going to explain the complications to everybody who drinks their water?
And that's another subject, what statins do to the brain. We'll have to have you back up again. BlaylockWellnessCenter.com, RussellBlaylockMD.com. God bless you, Doc. Great job. And you got to feel vindicated because I know you've been criticized nationally, and just everything you keep talking about is just being verified. I have Sky News. That's Fox out of England. With the headline that, top scientists now recognize that the flu vaccine's actually hurting people. I mean, it's all coming out. I wonder what's going to happen to all the pushers of this who knew this. We know from the documents, the CDC and others, when it all comes out. I mean, I think they should be held responsible.
Oh, they should be in prison. I mean, they've destroyed the lives of tens of millions of people. They should pay for it with criminal penalties.
I got one more question, as I never asked you this. How did you start to wake up to all this stuff?
Well, I was like most physicians, say, 30 years ago. I believed all this stuff. I thought vaccines were safe. But I was very interested in nutrition. The more I dug into it, the more I got into the actual mechanism of disease and learned the very intimate molecular biology of disease, I discovered all these things. And I know how vaccines work. I know what they do to the brain. I know about how the brain is formed, what effects constant immune stimulation have on the developing brain, the adult brain, and the link to Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So it just opened up a lot of doors and it clarified these things. Most physicians don't know this. They don't look at this research. So this is new to them. They've never heard of it.
And now they're trying to bring in a new federal dark age where you're not even allowed to look at this, basically. You just do what the federal computer tells you. Dr. Blaylock, talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless.